In the book of John, chapter number 12, John chapter number 12, this morning let me read a few verses and then talk to you out of the Word of God for a few minutes. John chapter number 12, I want to begin reading verse number 1. Verse number 1, when you find your place, stand with us, let's honor the Bible. Chapter number 12 in the book of John, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, again this morning, thanking you, Father, for these that are bowed with us and for this good day and all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you, Father, for your sweet spirit that we're able to feel this morning as we come. We ask you, dear God, that your will be done in the service today. Lord, I pray, Father, if there be one here that's not ever been saved, Lord, they've never been acquainted with the grace of God. Lord, I pray, Father, that today would be the day, Lord, that you'd convict them of their sins and draw them to an altar of repentance, Lord, that they leave here saved. Lord, that, Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that if there be one here, maybe they're backslidden. Maybe they're not as close to the Lord as they ought to be. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd touch them and bring them back to you, Lord, that they might fall in love with Jesus all over again. We ask you, dear Father, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us power to preach one more time, Lord, and give us the words that we need to say. Lord, that your word might go out and prick the hearts and the lives of these people that are here today. Go with us now in what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me, for just a few minutes. I want to talk to us about the church. I want to preach this morning, if God will help us, about the church. Maybe not so much as you're in the church as it is the church is in you. I want to preach about the church that is in the house. In your house. I don't know why the Lord led us this way as we began to read this text. The Lord began to work on our heart on the church in the house. I want to talk about that for just a few minutes this morning. Now you realize that the church has always been the concept of the Bible. Ever since the beginning of Genesis all the way to Revelation, the mystery of the church has been in the pages of this book. There have been many stories written. There have been prophets preaching. There have been things that have done by the Lord that has led us to the church. We had seen what's called the church in the wilderness. We see the concept of that church in the Old Testament days as God began to bring that into view closer and closer as our day approached. We began how to see the church come to its fruition in our day. And now we're living in the church age today where we see fully the concept of the church that has always been. There's never been a time how that the church hadn't always been in the mind of God. It's always been there. But the concept now is not so much is the church in the world as the church is in the house. That's where she needs to be this morning. How we find in the early stages of the church, as the nucleus of the church began to get birthed into Revelation in the New Testament,
The church wasn't in a building like we see it today. They had synagogues in the Jewish religion. And as the church began to come into Revelation, the church literally got ran out of the synagogues. And they began to say, those who believe in this way, they're no longer welcome to worship in the synagogues. And so the church began to go from house to house. You remember those words the Bible tells us. And they went from house to house, and they began to preach and began to testify in the house. And they went from one place. You remember how the Apostle Paul was praising the churches that were in the house. And he began to talk about in the book of Romans in the last chapter. He began to thank the Lord about the church that was in Chloe's house and the church that was in the different houses in that day. And as she began to grow and the church began to be birthed into the household. And you remember the Bible called it the household of faith. And they began to bring that part together as they began to bring the church into the house. And so we began to evolve now into these buildings. We began to what's called church houses now. And we come to a particular place and we say that we're going to the church house and we're going to worship God in the church house. And that's amazing when you think about that. But did you know how the concept of the church has always been the church at your house? Amen. And if the church doesn't ever get to your house, and then it'll never get to the church house. Amen. And so this morning I want to talk about the church that's in the house. Amen. And the house that's in the church. And when you think about how the Bible said now in your text that it had been 6 days now and Jesus is headed to the Passover at Bethany. That we had just read the story in chapter number 11 where Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. What a miracle. There always has to be that foundation in the church of a resurrection. Amen. There always. Now, they could not have had a church at the house had there not been a resurrection first. Amen. And I want to say to you this morning that had the Lord Jesus Christ not ever been raised from the dead, we'd never had a church house. Amen. But if you had have never been raised from the dead spiritually, the church could have never have been at your house. Amen. And it takes that foundation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to get into your house this morning. Fact of the matter is, you could have never even had Jesus in this house. Amen. Had he not ever been raised from the dead. And so we find in the house, you find now that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. So the power of the resurrection had been in the house. Amen. And so now you find three entities in this house. You find Martha, and you find Lazarus, and you find Mary. But thank God Jesus had come to their house. Amen. It can't be church if Jesus don't show up. This is just a formality with people in four walls. If Jesus doesn't show up in the house, amen. I know he's here this morning because I brought him with me. Amen. I anticipated him to be in the church house this morning, just like he was at my house before I left to come to the church house. Amen. Let me look at these three this morning. Let's look at Martha first. The Bible tells us that there they made him supper and Martha served. And so we find in the house here, you find Martha doing the serving in any church house. Rather, we have a church house here, or rather the church is at your house, there has to be some serving going on. Amen. I believe the Lord saved us to serve. Amen. And you know, I believe that in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that it brings glory to God. Amen. And what do you think that we're going to do when we get to heaven? Do you think we're just going to lounge around on some hammock somewhere with our feet over into the river of life like there's nothing to do? That's not right. Amen. There's going to be serving the Lord when we get to heaven. When I think about the angels in glory, they're serving our God right now. Amen. They're serving Him around the throne. They're bringing to Him glory and honor. And as He begins to dispatch the heavenly angels, amen, towards helping you and I, they're serving God. And so the house, amen, the church that's in the house, there has to be some serving going on. Martha had always been noticed and noted as being the servant in the house. Amen. Now in every household, there has to be a servant there. There has to be somebody there. You remember what Jesus said? The greater is not the one being served, but the one doing the serving. Amen. And Jesus Christ being the great God. Amen. The I Am. The eternal God. And when He came down into earth, He said that He came not to be served, but to serve. Amen. While He was here, He served you and I. And so the greatest blessing is to be a servant for God and being a servant in the house of God. Amen. And being a servant in your house this morning, serving the Lord. But then number two, look at how the Bible talks about Lazarus. And at first glance, when you look at Lazarus, it almost seems like he's taken the seat of do-nothing. And his biggest objective is to just sit down and do nothing. But that's not the picture here. In the house where God is, and in the church house, and in the house of the church, and there always needs to be that fellowship with Jesus. Amen. And you notice he says this. He says, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And I want you to note this morning, there's no greater, my friend, in being saved than fellowshipping with our blessed Lord. Amen. The Bible talks about loving your first love, going back to your first love. You ought not ever forget who saved you. And for what Jesus Christ had done for us on Calvary's cross, that He took upon Himself our shame, our sin, and our suffering, and our wrath that God pours out on the disobedient of this world. I want to say this morning that there has to be somebody, amen, in the house that wants to commune with Jesus and wants to fellowship with Him. I love you this morning. But if I had to choose between you and Jesus, I'd have to choose Jesus. Amen. He's who I come here for. He's who I'm coming to fellowship with. He's at my house, and He's at the church house. And we sit down in my study. Me and the Lord Jesus sits down, and we have breakfast oftentimes together. And we'll sit down and have communion service together and talk to one another and fellowship with one another. I take him hunting with me. I take him visiting with me. I take him to the store with me. I take him to the hospital with me. I'm glad, thank God, he fellowships with me. And he's at my house. Hallelujah. And I'm glad he's at the church house this morning. Or getting the church in the house. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if our house looks like a church house. I wonder if our house acts like a church house. It ought to. There shouldn't be too much difference between this house and our house. If there is, then our house needs a good cleaning up. Amen. It needs a good cleaning up. And so we find Lazarus, the Bible said, was one of them that sat at the table with him. There was many more of the Jews had come there. The Bible says in verse number 9 that much of the people, much of the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, talking about Lazarus, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also. Now you think about that. They came to their house to see Lazarus because then something happened to Lazarus that they wanted to look at him eyeball to eyeball and see him that had been who got saved this morning. I want to see that one that shouted this morning. I want to come into the house and fellowship with the Lord. The Bible said they not only come for Jesus' sake, but they wanted to see the difference in their house and the rest of their houses. I probably said this before, and I'm not boasting on me, and I'm not boasting on Miss D. But we was in Mississippi, and even at our house now, we was there, somebody had said something, or I had read something, or saw something that said something about pictures on the wall, and that you ought to put pictures on the wall with Bible verses. And I got thinking about that, and I thought, what a blessing it would be if we had pictures with Bible verses under them at my house. And I thought that'd be great. So I go home, and I tell Miss D, I said, it'd be great if we'd get some pictures on the walls that's got Bible verses on them. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, what? She said, have you not looked at the pictures on the wall? I said, well, I don't guess I paid no attention to them. She said, look at them. And I began to look at the ones in the living room, and there they were. And I got to look into one in the kitchen, and there they were. And I went to the bathroom and the bedrooms, and every picture on the in the house was beautiful pictures with Bible verses on. And I said, God bless you, Dee. She has done taking care of the house. She is a serving the Lord while I was a fellowshipping with him. Amen. I'm telling you, it takes it all at the house. Amen. What a blessing. But then thirdly, look at Mary. The Bible then says in this house, she said, then took Mary a pound of ointment. What in the world is happening to Mary? Jesus had come in the house, and Martha's fixing supper, and she's going to feed Jesus. And Lazarus is reclining at the table with the Lord's fellowship. And then Mary breaks out in worship. Just all of a sudden breaks out in worship. The Bible said, took the pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I could see that long-haired Mary taking her hair at his feet, just going and just fanning that odor, and it's just going all over the house. And Mary's just worshiping the Lord. Amen. Wiping his feet, getting all over him, worshiping the Lord. I'm telling you, when Jesus gets on the inside, he'll get on the outside. Amen. When he gets in the house and the church gets in the house, amen, there'll be some worshiping going on, not only at the church house, but there'll be worship in your house and my house. Amen. When the Lord come in, they said, and you know, it always amazes me. It's at that point right there when Mary gets beside herself, here comes the old devil. The devil never said nothing about the meal being cooked. He never says nothing about Lazarus sitting with the Lord, fellowshipping with him. But when Mary breaks out in worship, they all go get mad. And Judas says, wait a minute. Said, could this ointment not have been sold for a lot of money? I looked that up one time, and I think it said it was a year's wages. Said, couldn't that have been sold? But he didn't care about the poor. Said, well, couldn't it be sold and gave to the poor? He didn't care about the poor. All he cared about was his purse. And everything he could get in his purse, because he was a thief, he'd take out of there. Nobody kept up with him, and so he'd take out whatever he wanted to take out. There's no telling what that fella stole. He's like the devil. Amen. And later on, we find the devil got in him. He opened the door and let the devil in. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, the devil doesn't want you to worship God at your house, neither does he want you to worship at the church house. The church gets in the house. It ought not matter to you and I. You think that stopped Mary? She kept a pulling. She kept a fanning. She kept worshiping the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, by the time all this got settled, those folks that began to leave, here's what the Jews said. We need to kill Lazarus. What they said. They said, we need to kill him. So the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now what about that? I mean, he just got out of the grave. This miracle had just taken place. He just got out of the grave. Just had, if you want to say it, he just got born again. And now the devil wants to kill him, doesn't he? And then the Bible tells us that the reason they want to kill him is because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. This doesn't come without controversy. They'll tell you that it doesn't work. They'll tell you that Jesus isn't real. They'll tell you that you really didn't get saved. They'll tell you that all it'll pass with time. But when Jesus really gets in, and we go to serving him and fellowshipping with him and worshiping the Lord, I'm telling you, it's hard for the devil to knock that door down. Amen. The Bible said that many of them went away and believed on Jesus. Why? Because the church got in the house. Let's stand this morning.